This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
Rick, the thing I look forward to the most today on a football Friday is the combo pick between Canty and RJ Bell to see what that 0-5 duo can do as we head into week 6.
Why do you want to start the show by trolling me and RJ? I don't understand,
Dave. It's not trolling. It's just.
No, you're trolling honest. Right now. You're looking forward to the pick, and we don't have a win in 5 games already this season. RJ and Bell and I can't pick one
theory.
Winner.
Maybe it's the broken clock theory. Even a broken clock is right twice a day. Maybe
this
is the
I heard RJ Bell on the K show yesterday too, Dave. Okay, I don't understand why you got to start the show like that, trolling me and RJ Bell. Taking shots at your teammate. We got plenty of other people to take shots at in the landscape of New York sports, and you want to shoot at me. Why?
Yeah, I don't know.
You've been around Rick too long. That's what it is.
That's Pandemic Dave.
Good morning, Dave. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, Chris. How are you, Chris?
I was fine until you started with that. I woke up to a little Bart Scott on Get Up. I was getting ready for a football Friday, and here you go. Getting me all riled up. For what? You're worse than Nick from New Jersey.
Yeah, Nick from New Jersey caused some serious controversy on the K show yesterday. I will say that. Serious controversy.
What happened? Fill me in here.
Oh, it got ugly yesterday. Yeah, Nick from New Jersey.
Is this when Rosenberg went crazy on this guy?
No, yeah. Well, Rosenberg went crazy on him. He banned him. So, of course, I mean, it's a typical K who's the best. I mean, he brings Nick back on and gave Nick a chance. Nick was awful, bored everyone to tears. So K officially banned Nick. And then Don went into his list where he was ranking not just best video games. It was Don's favorite video games from Sega and Nintendo. And K almost fell asleep. So I texted K that I'd rather have Nick do a list. And then Don just lost.
He lost it?
He lost his mind.
He got angry, didn't he?
He got, yeah, I mean, it's inhumane. He got feisty. He got real feisty.
So is there an issue with you and Don?
No, I don't think so. I thought it was good for the show.
But he might.
No, there's an issue. There's an issue, Dave. There's an issue. The guys on the K show feel a way that Michael and Rick have this really close relationship.
I'll be honest.
Threatened by it somehow.
It's a little weird. I don't understand
how it's weird. How long have I been at the station?
Because here's the thing. You love me, and you'll take shots all over me. You love Chris, and you'll take shots at Chris. You love Michael, who's on another show, and if anybody says anything about Michael, you're like the public defender. Like, at least play it down the middle where you love him, but you put him into your circle, or you'll take shots at him. The way
you're
playing the Michael, it's different, and it's strange, and I'm not comfortable with it.
I'm very protective of Michael. I'll agree with that. I'm not going to shy away from that.
But why? Why are you more protective of Michael than you are of guys on your own show?
Well, because you're on my own show. I mean, this is like you guys are inside of the locker room, which makes you fair game. I mean, K's not in the locker room. He's not on the show. If he's on the show as a guest, I mean, I would take a shot.
No, you wouldn't. Don't start.
You would never walk,
please. No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't.
Oh, Michael. Oh, thanks. Oh, Michael.
No way.
I mean, no one has the insight that you have on the Yankees. Thanks so much for taking a few minutes out of your busy schedule, Michael. No, come on.
Well, he is busy. I mean, let's be honest. It's really nice.
Look
when
at you. You can't even do it.
He's deflecting right now. He's not answering the question directly, Dave. Beautiful.
I mean, it's unbelievable. Listen, he's a great guy. We all like him at the station, but you have a bizarre love affair with Michael.
I don't think it's bizarre at all.
It's
I love
strange.
You guys.
It's
what
strange.
Do you mean? I love you guys. I love Kay. I mean, what kind of, don't listen.
It's just weird because you won't take shots at Kay, but you'll take shots at everybody else. That's all.
Everybody else.
We just noticed. We just picked up on that.
Wives,
well, I think
family.
It's know your teammates too. I think it's know your teammates too. Like, I mean, there are certain people.
Well, yeah, Kay has a laminated list of people that
exactly.
He wants to get back at.
I don't
so
want to be
don't
on that list.
End up on that list. Yeah, I got
no,
you.
I'm trying to avoid
Rick is
that
a piece
list.
Of trash.
And now look what you've done. Now you've angered poor Don.
No, he went in. Like, he was tiptoeing the line. He started getting sexual. Like, it got aggressive. Like, he blacked out because he clearly said some things. Yeah, apparently I went in. I mean. And stay out of our business, but I went front to back with Kay, apparently, the way he described it. Just real aggressive.
Wow.
Man, it's a little, I understand it, man. Listen, me and Kay are close.
You would think that he'd actually have fun in this, but he continues to suck up.
God, you're a professional hockey player. You're on a tremendous show with chemistry. It's ridiculous. It's inhumane.
Hey, Rick, you better be careful with Don, man. You know he'll smack your face dead.
Oh, I know that. This is the beauty of the pandemic, man. I have to see him.
And then did you call him Rob Ryan?
Yeah, he looked like Rob Ryan, yeah.
Oh, my God.
And then he got really mad when I called him CBS Don because they were describing like how, you know, when there's something like sports related on one of the other stations, CBS just takes a knee and puts on like some random movie. So then they were saying, Don, is this list like you taking the knee? So I start, his new nickname, CBS Don.
Oh, you're
just get him a blue blazer, huh?
Yeah, with a
crest. I might do that. That's actually a really good idea, Canty. I might do that. Get him a CBS blazer. That'll put him over the edge.
Oh, my goodness. All right, so we have a lot to do. Lev Bell, he's gone from the outhouse to the penthouse, huh? Look
he's
at what this
up.
Guy.
He's like, you talk about
moving up. I mean, he's gone from an offense that's like last in the league and everything to an offense with maybe the best quarterback. I mean, I don't know. You can take your pick, but one of the great quarterbacks in the NFL right now and over the last God knows how long. I mean, this is a complete win for Lev Bell, Chris, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, he went from the worst offense in football, the worst situation for a running back, to the best one. Going with Pat Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. And I know that there might be some other offenses that are highly rated, but at his best, Pat Mahomes is the best football player on the planet. Like, is there another quarterback that you'd rather play with?
Russell Wilson.
Stop it.
No,
man,
I mean, look,
Joe
Flacco.
Stop it. So, I mean, yeah, it's a great situation.
Stop it.
I think it's a great situation for Lev Bell, and he fits a need for them. I mean, we spend so much time talking about how great the Chiefs are. We don't talk about their weaknesses or their deficiencies, but they got some issues when it comes to short yardage football and then low red zone goal line stuff. I mean, having your quarterback run speed option when you get inside of the 10, that's not the way you want to make a living in terms of being able to punch the ball into the end zone. So I think Lev Bell gives them that option that they need, a strong big body runner in between the tackles. I think he brings a lot to the table. Some of the similar skill sets that you see from Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but I think he's a much better runner when it comes to understanding the value of a 3 or 4 yard run. Now, and when it comes to winning time, especially in the postseason, you're going to need that. Mike Tannenbaum talks about it all the time. You throw the score, you run to win. I think this guy gives them that element where they can grind out games and they can close out opponents.
Rick, if he goes out there and he is Le'Veon Bell, like the guy that we remember with the Steelers, will it make you pleased to just have another reason in the case against Adam Gase and see he's another guy the guy can't work with? Or would you prefer he goes out there and he is just awful? 3.2 yards a carry, doesn't get a lot of time. Clearly he's on the verge of being done. What would you prefer to see from Lev Bell?
Well, listen, my expectation is that he goes into Kansas City and he produces because of that offense. Pat Mahomes, I mean, Andy Reid, he's going from, you know, color by numbers to, you know, Michelangelo. That's the difference between Adam Gase calling plays to Eric Bieniemy and Andy Reid calling plays. He may not do it himself. He's going to be all excited. Well, I mean, you already got plenty of examples, though, Dave. I mean, look what Robbie Anderson's doing right now.
So you don't need more. I've seen enough. But Chris has this theory that God knows what's going to happen, and maybe they somehow keep him on next year. If you're there, don't you have to root against or root for Lev Bell to be great with Kansas City? So at least it's another one of the, see, Adam Gase is just incapable.
Yeah, but I have a hard time rooting for Lev Bell, the way he handled himself. I know it didn't work out. Coach didn't want him and everything else. But, I mean, there were some things that he did and some things that never got out that do bother me a little bit. But, hey, man, it is what it is. I fully expect him to go. Cause I wouldn't be surprised. Like, I wasn't surprised that Lev Bell was released. And that they've been trying to trade him since last year, and I won't be surprised if he goes into Kansas City in that situation and has success.
I'm expecting him to go to Kansas City and ball. Like that's what I expect to see. Maybe the first couple of games, it'll be an adjustment period because it's a new offense and he's got to feel his way through it. But I mean, I don't expect anything but good things for Lev Bell. Like, this is the perfect place for him to drive up his value and to create a market for himself in free agency in 2021. But, Dave, going back to something you just said, I don't have a crazy theory that Adam Gase is going to hang on and be the head coach beyond this year. I'm just saying I don't understand why the Jets haven't moved on from him already. Like,
but
it's clear that he's entrenched in that building.
You've thought of, right? Like, it's something that's popped into your head, like maybe he could be the head coach next year and they're not going to get rid of him after this season?
Yeah, I hope he doesn't stay around. I don't think he deserves to stay around. But to be fair with you, I don't think he should be there now. I don't think he deserves to have his job now. Adam Gase should be gone. But for whatever reason, he's there. And I do know that he owes Joe Douglas owes his job to Adam Gase. If Adam Gase is not the head coach of the New York Jets, Joe Douglas isn't the general manager. Can we agree on that?
Yes.
Okay. So, yes. I mean, and it's clear that when Adam Gase got hired, there was a power struggle between him and Mike Maccagnan, and Adam Gase won out in the eyes of Chris Johnson. So
yes.
There are people in that building that are in power that have empowered Adam Gase.
But how long do you have to, be in debt to him for what he's done for you? Like, clearly he's not doing a good job. The team is the worst
now,
in the NFL, and they might not win a
Dave,
game this year.
I don't know when that happens. But, I mean, listen, even Dowell Loggins is coming out and saying, well, you know what? Listen, we all agreed that play calling isn't the issue. Like, Adam's doing a great job. We just got to execute better. Everybody is supporting the head coach. I don't understand why they just can't call it what it is, because clearly what they're doing isn't good enough. from a practice and preparation standpoint, it's not good enough. They're not even competitive in most games. The only game that they were competitive in this season, it took them playing at home on a Thursday night short week with a team that's out from the West Coast traveling east with a third-string quarterback.
And you
that
still
was
lost
the
by
only
nine.
Way that they could be competitive. So I don't understand why everybody that's in that building in Florham Park is afraid to call it what it is. There are some shortcomings, and you can put some of it on the players, but the head coach is not absolved of blame in this situation, but yet nobody in that building has come out and publicly criticized him. Why is that?
Because they like being paid. I mean, are you really asking that question? If the head coach isn't going to hold himself accountable, you think Dowell Loggins is going to hold the head coach accountable?
Well, Chris Johnson and Woody Johnson are the ones that signs the checks. Last I checked, if the owner wants to come out and say something that's critical of the general manager or the head coach, he can come out and say it. He's not worried about anything. Arthur Blank didn't have any problem criticizing Dan Quinn before he fired him.
Yeah, but Dan Quinn wasn't Arthur Blank's first time. I mean, Arthur Blank has made plenty of hires. I mean, Dan Quinn got them to the Super Bowl. Like, I mean, this was Chris Johnson's first hire. And the second he hired him, people were critical of the hire. I mean, he hopes to hell like this is going to work out. And I think the reason why Adam Gase is still the head coach right now is because of the relationship with Joe Douglas. And Joe Douglas wants to give him every opportunity once this team starts to get healthy. Like, okay, we got Perryman back. Hopefully you get Mims back. And then he can make his own bed. Adam Gase is not going to be the head coach of this team next year. You cannot sell. If this team continues to lose football games, the business side of football will take over. Because you cannot sell Adam Gase being the head coach of this team next season. You can't do it.
You can't.
No one's buying that. No one's buying tickets to watch Adam Gase coach this team next year. No one. That's when the decision will be
especially
made.
Especially if you go 0-16 or 1-15 and get the first pick. Could you imagine handing Trevor Lawrence over to Adam Gase?
Joe Douglas is systematically eliminating excuses for Adam Gase because he's friends with him. And at a certain point, it's going to be Joe Douglas' reputation on the line. So once the team gets healthy and they continue, the offense still looks the way it's looked, and they lose more football games, that's... Listen, Adam, I told you I'd wait till you got healthy. You got all your players now. I got rid of the guys you wanted me to get rid of, and it's still not working. I appreciate all the help getting the job, but, you know, we got to let you go. If it's me and I'm Joe Douglas, I can sleep at night knowing that I gave him every opportunity.
If you're Adam Gase and you have a season like you're having and you go 1-15 or, you know, you get hot and you go 2-14 or something happens like that, and you're removed from that job by Joe Douglas, do you think you're really angry at him? Or do you think you're like, you know what, I understand. I mean, this is a win-now business, and I've been awful in my job.
Well, he doesn't think he's awful at his job, though. That's the crux of the issue.
He doesn't
that's
think
the problem.
He's awful at his job.
He doesn't realize.
That's laughable.
It's always the players, man.
Well, how many times do you need to hear him say, I wouldn't change a thing. I called a great game. We got to execute. All he does is blame the players.
Oh, my gosh. He's 30-39 as a head coach, but he doesn't think he's awful at his job.
And it's not even the 39 losses. It's 30 of the 39 losses have been by double digits or something crazy like that?
They get destroyed all the time.
He's had one winning season as a head coach, and that was the first one in Miami. Just one.
You know who I'd be angry at if I was you, Rick?
Oh, my goodness.
Really? Peyton Manning. I'd be livid about Peyton Manning. You push this guy on me. You tell me this is the guy I can't move on without having him into my building. And he, you know, the owner falls in love with him. Why? Because you had success with him years
time
ago.
I'm trying to figure out how I can get Peyton Manning to represent me.
Yeah,
and if he can put in a good word for me, hell, comes contract negotiating time. That's the guy you want at the table for you.
I know, but come on. I mean, that's fine. There's plenty of situations like that where, you know, you get a nice recommendation, someone, hey, can you pick up the phone and call? But then it's up to the person that's making the hire. Okay, that's great, Peyton, but it was you, you're one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. I mean, I'll take that in, you know, under advisement, but now I'm gonna end up making my own decision here. It's great that he called.
We sat down and talked with him and we liked him. He's a likable
like nice guy.
Which
is exactly why, I mean, you could tell when we talked to him. If I didn't know anything about football and he starts going over X's and O's and everything else and start breaking the, like, he's got a, like, when you're one-on-one with him, he's got a pretty good personality.
Yeah, he's got a great personality.
I'm so glad I wasn't with you guys during that interview, man, because I didn't want to fall into the trap of liking Adam Gase. So glad I wasn't with you guys.
You would have. He sat with us after the segment was over. We talked football. He was a nice guy. He was a friendly guy. Like, I liked him.
Yeah. Too bad the players don't feel the same way.
We felt the same way about Mike Maccagnan, though. Mike Maccagnan was easy to talk to.
He was a great guy. Listen, you can be a great guy and not be good at your job.
100%. But again, it goes back to the main problem I had when the hire was made is you're talking about one of the most important years in the history of the Johnsons owning the team, and Woody left Chris Johnson, who's never done anything in football before, the team to make these decisions. Like, what would make you believe that him, you know, that this guy who, I mean, is a good guy. I mean, Chris Johnson's a good guy, but he's not qualified to make these kind of decisions. And if you're not going to take the recommendation of your GM anyway, well, what good was that? Like, if the GM's telling you, hey, it's either I really like Matt Rhule.
Right.
Or then we got, I mean, we got Mike McCarthy, developed, you know, Aaron Rodgers. He's with Brett Favre, won a Super Bowl. And then you say, nah, I'm all set, Mike. We're going to go with Adam Gase. The second you ignore Mike Maccagnan's...
You should have fired Mike Maccagnan.
Exactly.
Then. I agree.
But you didn't, and then you had the power struggle, and for some reason let him spend all the money and go through the draft.
You wouldn't be
Knicks
here
style.
If he hired Matt Rhule, I'll tell you that. I don't think you'd be here.
I don't think you'd be here either. But this is where we're at.
This is where we're at. You're right. It stinks. That's not fair to the Jets fan. 800-919-3776. Let's go to Chris in Manhattan. Chris, you're first up on a Football Friday on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, good morning, guys. I'm loving the conversation, and specifically Rick. What made me call in was the way that you were explaining it, I guess Joe Douglas's position, it's as if he has the power to fire Adam Gase, which I think has been the problem because the GM hasn't had the power to either hire or fire head coaches. And really, I mean, again, like, I mean, I'm in total agreement. You can't sell me that Adam Gase can be the head coach in the next hour, much less next week, next year.
But I think that's the word. But the word you said, sell.
Yes.
Like at a certain point, like Chris Johnson is going to realize, like, okay, we got to sell season tickets and everything else. Like they still want to make money. And if you know, everyone is completely turned off on the idea. Like every Jet fan I know, you can't stand having Adam Gase. They want him fired.
I mean,
now. You can't roll him out again and expect people to consume your product.
No, you can't. I mean, literally. And I said this to Larry Hardesty. If you had the Johnson brothers on Shark Tank in front of the Sharks, especially Mark Cuban, another owner who can evaluate how you do things as an ownership group. I don't think they would buy into the New York Jets.
I think the Jets fans would actually want them in front of real live sharks, not just.
Well, dripping in what? I'm not even going to say.
No, but you know what? The hope is this. The hope is this. This is where kind of the waters do get a little bit muddied now, depending on what happens in the election. If Woody comes back and he wants to take, you know, over control of the team, Chris Johnson has to realize at this point, like, you know what? I made a mistake. I clearly don't know as much football as I thought I did. Joe Douglas
Which
is signed
is
to a 6-year deal. Joe Douglas has been signed to a 6-year deal. Now I gotta lean on the GM to help me make this thing. He did the same thing with Mike Maccagnan. Like he leaned on Mike Maccagnan, apparently not very well, but I would imagine that Joe Douglas is going to have a say on who ends up being the next head coach.
Can you rewind to something? Because something that you put out there I didn't hear before about Matt Rhule and Mike McCarthy, that Maccagnan was in favor of them?
Yeah.
Oh, God. You shouldn't have told me that.
Well, you didn't know that?
It's like you need new owners, man. Come on. You know what, fellas? Have a good day, man. They wasted my
friend. You know what? We just had like every segment during that call. He called up. He was in a good mood. Wanted to talk. By the end of it, he heard the honest truth. And he's like, I got to go. Like he said goodbye. He didn't even want any more. I'm done, guys. I can't take this anymore.
No, the truth hurts, man. Now, this is what happens, though. I think a lot of the time we give people too much credit, right? We just expect them to make better decisions. Like, they're supposed to be qualified to do these jobs. And there's a lot of people that aren't qualified to do these jobs. There isn't. And I don't know how you make the decision to let someone that's never done it before go handpick his own
head coach. But you had guys that seem to be more than capable and have shown success in your building, and you let them leave, and you hired a guy who had just failed right before this.
Yeah, but at the time, I mean, he was what every team was looking for. Like, he fit the profile. Like, the Sean McVay
Except
type.
As a head coach, when you saw a 3-year sample size, he didn't get it done. Fits the profile, but even down in Miami, he couldn't get that program turned in the right direction. Now, a couple of years later, with a new GM and a new head coach, the Dolphins are competitive and on the verge of being .500. And that was considered 2 years ago the worst team in football.
And clearly heading in the right direction. Like you, even someone that hates them, that is negative on Miami, you have to agree
they were not.
Dave, 2 years ago, they were exactly where the Jets are at right now.
And look where
they are. 2 years ago.
So they think they have the quarterback of the future. They're actually kind of winning games now. There's a good chance they're back to 500 this week, and they have their pick and another team's first-round pick and second-round pick this coming draft. I mean, if you're buying stock in any team in the NFL right now, it might be Miami.
Yeah.
They're a 9.5-point favorite against the Jets. 9.5 points. I mean, what else do you need to say?
There's nothing else we need to say.
And, oh, by the way, you lost to an 0-7 Dolphins team last year.
When they were dreadful.
When they were awful, yeah.
Yeah. Ira, Staten Island. Good morning, Ira.
Hey, good morning, Dave. Look what you three guys did to that poor caller.
We didn't do anything.
I mean that's all the years I'm listening to the radio. I don't think anybody just said, and just hung up the phone. It's unbelievable. But, you know, first of all, with the Bell situation, good for him. You know, I have no grudges against him. He wasn't a perfect citizen here, but he first came in. I think he did the right thing. It just didn't work out. And we'll see in which direction that goes. I think he'll be really good with Andy Reid. And, you know, it's a funny thing. When we play the Chiefs in a couple of weeks, if Gase is still the head coach, you know, I would love to be Chris Johnson, because after Andy Reid shows that Bell still has something left in the tank, even though I think he's lost a step, and he puts up a couple of touchdowns or runs for 100 yards, I would love to hear Adam. That's what, if I were Chris Johnson, I'd ask Gase, how come Andy Reid got him to do this and you couldn't? And you know, I think that would be the breaking point. But you know what? After all the dust clears, I don't know if you guys are going to agree with me or not, you look back at that 95-96 team, and what did they do? They hit rock bottom. You know, Leon Hess won out. He got Parcells. I know there's no Parcells out there right now that we know of. And all of a sudden, they had a really good run from 97 to 2010. They had a couple of years in there with some bad years. But pretty much they had a couple of AFC championship games, but they never got the gold ring. You know what? I think after all this year, all what we've gone through last year and what we're going to go through this year, I think the same thing is going to happen. We're going to bottom out 0-16, 1-15, and they're going to make Douglas ahead of the organization like they should have had many, many years ago. And I think they're going to get out of the way, and they're going to let them run this thing like a football operation.
I hope that's the case.
Yeah, I have no confidence that the Jets are going to do that.
No, neither do I.
Yeah.
How can you have confidence that they're going to do the right thing?
Because anybody in the business world, I don't care what business you're in, if you're failing for 10-plus years, aren't you going to look yourself in the mirror and say, okay, you know, I'm successful, but I can't get this portion of my business right. After a 10-year run, I need to make some changes. And there's only so many changes you can make. Okay, they're not going to sell the team. Okay, so what do you have to do? I got to restructure the organization and do things differently. And my prediction is Douglas will be, like you want to call him, the football czar. He'll be head of the operations there, and he'll be making the decisions. Of course, the owners sign off. And I think that's when, hopefully, if they make the right decisions and Douglas does get this thing right, hopefully we'll start going in the right direction. Because it can't get any worse. I mean, it doesn't get worse than what it is right now.
Why do we keep saying that? Why do we keep saying
that?
We keep saying that about 2022, and it finds a way to keep getting worse. Do not say that.
I mean, every day someone dies, you're like, oh, no, not
the last time Canty said that. The last time Canty said that was leading into the week where Sam Darnold got thrown on his shoulder and separated his shoulder. This is the last time he said that.
Okay, so if you go 0-16, another bad thing, Trevor Lawrence doesn't want to play for us? I mean, is that the thing you're going to hit? I mean,
would that surprise you?
I truly believe.
Don't tempt fate, Zyra. Don't do it.
What are you doing right now?
I've seen it with Peyton Manning. You don't think that's possible?
Right, so why would you say it can't
be? Oh, it's absolutely possible. It's absolutely on the board. Absolutely.
I also like to live dangerously.
I'm going to have to go sacrifice a chicken now. I'm going to have to go give Joe Boo some rum.
Have Joe Douglas go down there and talk to Trevor Lawrence and see who he wants to be the next head coach.
It does start. I mean, the one point I made is, and that is the truth, though. I mean, it does start up top in how this thing is structured. They need to have someone in charge of football that knows football.
Well, I'll say this. I think Joe Douglas knows football. It's just that he had that relationship with Adam Gase, and because of the dynamic and how he got the job as general manager, he felt beholden to him. But at some point, like Dan Graziano pointed out earlier this week, Joe Douglas is going to start separating himself from Adam Gase. You see the writing on the wall. He's not going to be able to get this thing turned in the right direction. Adam Vase is eventually going to be fired.
Yeah, but that's
and
not
at that point, it'll be on Joe Douglas.
But that's not the point. What I was alluding to was how the organization is structured, that the coach and the GM are on the same on equal footing, and they both report to the owner. And if the owner has the owner is in love with Adam Gase, it doesn't matter what Joe Douglas is telling Chris Johnson. If Adam Gase is Chris Johnson's guy, that can't be that way.
Well, here's the thing. Joe Douglas has a 6-year contract. So, I mean, I think that he's going to have an opportunity to have input, a lot more input than Mike Maccagnan did on who the next head coach is going to be. Now, I don't know how they're going to, organize the structure of the organization, whether Chris Johnson stays in charge or Woody Johnson comes back. I don't know how all of those moving parts are going to work together. But it's clear that there won't be anybody in the building that knows more football than Joe Douglas. At that point, Joe Douglas will have the most input on who's going to be the next coach. And you just hope that he makes the right hire. So you have some stability. And you have some synergy at the top.
Yeah, I mean, that's the hope, but who knows?
I don't know. I don't know why you would believe that that's going to happen. That's what should happen.
But I think the contract that Joe Douglas has makes it a different dynamic than what we saw with Mike Maccagnan in his last year as the general manager with Adam Gase.
You're right. Yes. But I'm sorry. It's very hard for me to believe that the Jets are going to do the right thing. I'm not saying they won't. I'm not saying that Douglas is not.
Look at the body of work. Look at the evidence that we've seen in the last couple of decades. Of course you don't have any confidence that the Jets are going to do the right thing. Why should you?
You shouldn't.
No, you shouldn't.
For him to come on and say, well, it can't get worse. You don't say stuff like that.
We've seen it get worse.
You could trade Sam Darnold to the Colts and he can become an all-pro quarterback.
You don't think when he goes to a good system that he's going to turn into a really good quarterback?
Yes. Yes.
Whether it's Pittsburgh or the Saints or the Colts or whatever team it is.
Well, think about all the programs that he's been linked to in terms of trade rumors. Pittsburgh, San Francisco, New Orleans, Indianapolis. All of them have good general managers. All of them have good head coaches. Of course Sam Darnold is going to have a better chance at realizing his potential. It's just he's around dysfunction in the organization right now, and there's no way that he's going to be able to develop properly. So I think it's at the point now where it's in best interest of all parties involved that there's a split. I think Sam Darnold has to go somewhere and get a fresh start.
Sad.
And that's probably going to happen because the Jets are going to be bad enough this year where they're going to have the first overall pick. And there's no way they're passing on Trevor Lawrence.
You can't.
Yeah, that's why you don't fire Adam Gase, too. Make him suffer, and on top of it, don't have him getting fired all of a sudden spark your team to actually try and they accidentally win a couple games.
Enrico, I hear you on that one. I can be just as spiteful as you when it comes to stuff like that. I think Adam Gase deserves to wear this. The only problem I have with that is you're literally lighting 11 games on fire. And you can't waste opportunities for development of your young players. You just can't. You shouldn't waste those opportunities.
But Chris, what young players? I mean, the latest.
Well, we don't know. We got to wait till Adam Gase gets away from these guys to find out whether or not they got any talent.
I understand that, but it doesn't sound like they're going to do that. I mean, the latest rumor was Quinton Williams. Yeah. Okay, Quinton Williams
and that's fine. All I'm sitting there saying is this: regardless of what they do, because it's clear they don't know what the hell they're doing. What I'm saying is, you don't waste 11 games in the National Football League. You don't waste opportunities to see what young players can do in competitive situations. You don't throw those away. We were sitting here talking about it last week, why the Yankees didn't let Davey Garcia pitch that entire game, why you only gave him the first inning. You don't know. Maybe the guy can surprise you. Well, the same thing you can apply right here to the Jets and their young players. Let's see what those guys can do if they actually believe in the head coach and his game plan and their path to victory. Let's see what can happen. We don't know. All I'm saying is you have an opportunity with, two-thirds of the season left. Why waste it with a head coach that clearly doesn't motivate these guys, doesn't get them to go out there and compete? That's all.
No, you're right. I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying. It feels like Joe Douglas is going to let this play out because he feels like he owes it to Adam Gase to let the team get healthy and see what he can do with his full complement of guys he thought he was going to have this season.
When Mims and Perryman are healthy, then they're going to come in and make the big difference.
I agree with you from the standpoint of how it will play out. I'm just saying I don't think it should play out that way.
But in all honesty, Chris, when you look at this team, I mean, I know what you're saying, and you're right. I mean, theoretically, what you said makes perfect sense. But, I mean, the guys that you want to see that you feel like are going to be, foundational pieces moving forward aren't playing anyway. Mekhi Becton's not playing. You haven't seen Mims yet. I can't imagine Perriman's going to be on the team next year. Braxton Berrios isn't long-term plans. Hogan's hurt. I mean, it looks like they're going to trade Sam Darnold. So you're going to draft a new quarterback.
It's crazy if they trade Sam Darnold and Quinnen Williams. That would be...
That's
you would trade your last three first-round picks in a matter of 4 months.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
Not only first-round picks, but all in the top six.
Yeah.
And you could see how his teammates reacted. Like, it was... Like, I knew, you know, early on when Lev Bell signed, with all the, you know, talk about, you know, Adam Gase not liking the contract and everything else. And there was some, you know, Lev Bell was saying all the right stuff, but there was, I mean, he was getting fined and everything else. Like, he wasn't, you know, the model citizen, right? The way his teammates reacted, though, after he got traded, like, yo, we're so surprised. He's such a special player. That's exactly why Adam Gase had to get rid of Lev Bell. Like, if that's the feeling in the locker room, that like, Lev Bell, like, people still believe that Lev Bell can be special, and then you watch every Sunday, and he's clearly not... He doesn't look special because of the play calling and everything else.
Well, that's an indictment on the head coach. But here's the thing, Ricky. Lev Bell just signed with the Chiefs, the reigning defending champs. Do we think that Brett Veach and Andy Reid can identify talent?
Oh, yeah.
Do we think they can evaluate players? So, I mean, they're saying that they think that Lev Bell has something left in the tank. Otherwise, they wouldn't bring him into that locker room. They wouldn't take the chance. But yet, Adam Gase is saying that he can't find a way to use Lev Bell more.
What's irrelevant?
An offense that seems like they're bereft of talent. We can only find one target for him in the passing game, but yet the Kansas City Chiefs signed him less than 48 hours after he was released. I that's the part that doesn't make sense to me.
Well, it makes perfect sense. But the conversation that we just had is exactly what's happening in that locker room. Like, if that's how the players in that team feel, like, on the offensive side of the ball feel about Lev Bell, and he's been to say not productive is probably an understatement from what you expected.
If he balls on November 1st, and Adam Gase is still the coach, there's no way that Adam Gase can be the coach the following week. There's no way. There's no way. There is no way you could justify that. It's not possible.
November 2 is the day. Right?
You know those conversations, though, Chris. You know those locker room conversations.
No, I know, but that's what I'm saying. You'll have a revolt on your hands at that point.
Oh, yeah.
Because if the head coach said that this guy can't help, even the general manager, the head coach – and the general manager, in support of the head coach, decided to get rid of this guy. They cut him because they said he couldn't help us and he was being disruptive. And he goes to a championship contending team and then he wipes the floor with us several weeks later. You would have a revolt on your hands. I mean, it was just...
You'd have another half season of football to play.
But that's what I'm saying, Dave. No, like, it's just like everybody... Like, the players are shut it down. We talk about guys shipping the cars home. Like, guys would completely check out of whatever the head coach and the general manager are talking about for the rest of the year.
I agree. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Guest on DCRP via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Rick, we haven't done a frenzy in a while. Are you up for a frenzy?
I want nothing more than a frenzy. I understand what's going on with Canty.
Nothing more.
I know why Canty's in a bad mood, too.
Why?
He slipped. Because he slipped. I mean, he just, for some reason, we're talking NFL, he brings up the Yankees. Because he watched the Braves-Dodgers game last night, and he watched what Bryce Wilson did. And he's saying to himself, like, Davey Garcia couldn't have done that?
Yeah, he could have. He outdueled Kershaw.
Yeah, rookie, by the way.
Chris, are you at all anxious about Houston?
No, I'm not worried.
Not yet.
The Rays are a better baseball team.
Okay.
Rays are a better baseball
God forbid, Dave. Don't do that to Canty. He'll be a wreck if Houston ends up in the World Series.
That would make me sick. I would throw up in my mouth.
Well, according to Ira, it can't get worse. So I don't think you have anything to worry about.
It's time for a frenzy. A football frenzy.
You could say that 10,000 times and it still wouldn't be enough.
It fires me up, man.
I love it. Say it one more time.
A football frenzy. Any team, any player, any question.
That's right. 800-919-3776 on Twitter at Rothenberg ESPN. Football Frenzy brought to you by 2 by London, the engagement shop by London Jewelers. Let's go. Rapid fire, everybody. Matt and Clifton, go.
If Daniel Jones continues to struggle, will the Giants pursue a quarterback in this year's upcoming draft?
Well, I think it depends how bad they are, right, guys? Like, if the Giants are
1-15.
Depends on
where they finish.
Yeah, depends. You're 1-15, 2-14.
Well, I think that's a factor. Also, the rate that he continues to turn the football over with. If it looks the way that it looks now, where he's turning it over nearly twice a game, then they're going to have to address the quarterback position.
It'd be nice if Andrew Thomas could block, too.
That would be great. He looks not so good.
I know we're really so focused on the turnovers, but, I mean, you look back at Eli early on in his career when he took over as a starting quarterback for the Giants. I mean, he turned, it wasn't fumbles, but he turned the ball over a lot.
But Rick, he won the division in his second year.
Yeah.
No, I know, but he also had 55 interceptions in his first 3 years starting. Man, that's a lot of interceptions. That's a lot of turnovers.
But if Daniel Jones was turning the ball over and the Giants were winning now, I don't think.
Well, would the Giants be? Would the Giants? I mean, would Daniel Jones be winning games on that Giants team that Eli Manning was on? Probably.
Possibly. Yeah.
The team he's on is not good.
They're bad.
And you got no Saquon Barkley or Sterling Shepard.
And his receivers aren't all that good. And Evan
doesn't help.
It's just.
Yeah, I hesitate to put Daniel Jones in Eli Manning territory right now. I just don't feel comfortable doing that.
Let's go to John in Jersey. John, you're next up on the Frenzy.
Hey guys, thanks for taking the call.
Oh my God! I mean, I don't understand. That's the cardinal sin. It's the worst thing you can do on the Frenzy.
Hey,
John,
hey, what's
it
up? It's Jerry.
I got a question for the Frenzy. Is it good if you average the least amount of points in the league and give up the second most points in the league? Is that good?
No, not good. Not good. 800-919-3776. Tim in New Haven. Timmy, you're on the Frenzy.
What do you think of Drew Lock?
I think he's got potential. I mean, to come back from the injury this week, it sounds like he's going to play against the Patriots.
We haven't
seen
him.
He's got an unbelievable arm. Right. Everyone on the team, from what you've heard from all the Broncos players, it sounds like they're sold on him, but I don't think you've seen enough yet.
Yeah,
everyone was sold on Daniel Jones last year. Now everyone wants to get rid of him.
And you've seen less of Drew Lock than you've even seen of Daniel Jones. But they have some weapons there for him, at least.
Yeah, we'll see how he uses them.
We will. Giovanni, 320, wants to know, if P. Ryan looks really good moving forward, does that change your opinion on Gase / Lev Bell?
No. No. Why would it change my opinion? I mean, the Kansas City Chiefs already think that he's capable of giving them something, and it's the best offense in the National Football League. So, I mean, no, it doesn't change my opinion on Adam Gase at all.
If your last name is P. Ryan, would that would a good nickname be like Pod, like P Pod, like, because the P Pod would be the run?
You're trying too hard here.
That wouldn't be a good nickname.
You're
trying to think of a good nickname for him.
Even K wouldn't like that. Anthony Garrow wants to know.
Well, I can't go back and forth and then just kind of brainstorm a little bit with you.
You can brainstorm. I'm saying it wasn't very good.
All right,
you're
fine.
Better than that.
He's so negative.
Will Dez Bryant ever play another down in the NFL?
No. Next question.
From Bateman 1776, with Xavier McKinney, will the Giants defense get a couple of wins and lose out on a top pick later in the season when he comes back?
Well, I think Xavier McKinney is only going to help. That Giants defense has been a pleasant surprise. What are they, eighth in total defense right now? I mean, that's pretty good. I mean, I didn't think that they would be good. I thought that would be a group that struggled. But, I mean, Patrick Graham has done the job. He's been able to manufacture pressure, getting it from some unlikely places, and he's been able to mask the deficiencies that they've had to some degree. So, nothing but respect.
Let's go to Kevin in Englewood. Kevin, you're next up on the Frenzy.
Yes. Chris Canty, former Dallas Cowboy.
Oh, for God's sakes. Get to the question, Kevin.
Do you think Dak can make a full recovery and be the Dak that we were growing and knowing to love?
Yeah. I think Dak will make a complete recovery. I mean, it was a gruesome injury. Anytime you talk about a dislocation when your foot is facing a direction that it shouldn't be facing, it's not good. But from all the reports that the surgery went well, there wasn't any nerve damage, so we just hope that he can make a speedy recovery. But they're expecting him to be ready sometime late April, early May. So, yeah, I think he'll make a full recovery. Now, whether or not he's going to be a Dallas Cowboy next year remains to be seen.
800-919-3776. SRNY10 wants to know, does Evan Engram get traded at the deadline?
For what?
I don't know.
For what? I mean, who's...
You get a fifth for him?
Is anyone fourth, looking for maybe? A tight end that can't block or is not willing to block and rarely shows
does
up?
Does Dave Gettleman have a cousin that's a general manager around the National Football League?
Does Dave Gettleman have a Dave Gettleman? Does Dave Gettleman have a Dave Gettleman on another team?
Maybe the Jets will take him. Lucky Lou wants to know, does Gettleman make it the entire year, or is he fired before the end of the season?
No, he makes it the year.
It doesn't do him any good to fire him before the end of the season. He'll make it the rest of the year.
I agree. Dave in Jersey. Dave, you're on the Frenzy.
Yeah, I want to know if Carson Wentz, is there a chance of him being benched if ever Jalen Hurts this season or anytime soon?
Yes, I think there is. If Carson Wentz doesn't play better, if he keeps turning the football over, I think there's a chance that he could be benched for Jalen Hurts. Now, they might not say it's him being benched. They might try to wrap it behind some kind of, strange injury. But, yeah, I think you'll see more Jalen Hurts. You saw Jalen Hurts last week against the Steelers.
Yep.
They're going to play Jalen Hurts more as the season progresses.
Let's go to
They
John
get so
Jersey.
Much money invested into Carson Wentz, though.
A ton. A ton. They got to figure it out. John in Jersey, you're next up on the Frenzy.
49ers trade Jimmy G for Matt Ryan.
I don't think they have to trade Jimmy.
I don't think you would trade
him. And why would Atlanta? Atlanta wants
why
to go
would
after
Atlanta
a young quarterback.
Jimmy G?
If Kyle Shanahan can't make it work with Jimmy G, what's Atlanta going to do?
Jimmy G's going to get cut.
Yes.
He's going to get cut. There's very little dead money on the 49ers salary cap if they cut him after this season.
Matt
Ryan has a better chance.
Yeah. He's going to go on a porn star rampage.
Matt Astoria, you think the Falcons would trade Matt Ryan or Julio Jones at the deadline?
Probably. I mean, they're trying. When you hear Arthur Blank talk, I mean, it sounds like Matt Ryan's not.
They're not trading Julio Jones. They're not trading Julio Jones.
I don't think they trade. They just gave him They just gave him a ton of money.
They're not trading Julio Jones.
Julio Jones
going to retire a Falcon. Matt Ryan.
Matt Ryan's got to be mid-30s, right?
Yeah, he was 2007 draft class with Flacco. 13,
so he's probably 35, 36.
Yeah.
But, all right,
He's got 3 years at $25 million. So, I mean, that's a solid number for a former MVP quarterback.
He's 35.
35? Yeah. He'd probably have a couple more years.
Yeah.
I would think. All right, Santi, blow that dead. All right, the Football Frenzy brought to you by 2 by London, the engagement shop by London Jewelers. Pick or design the perfect engagement ring to fit every budget. Visit 2 by London at the Americana Manhasset, East Hampton, and Westfield World Trade Center. Very well done. It was a very, very nice day. So we've analyzed Lev Bell. We've analyzed Adam Gase, certainly. Joe Douglas. But there is a game coming up at 4 o'clock on Sunday down in Miami. And Chris, for the Jets to win this game, because that's what they're trying to do, right, even though they're 9.5-point underdogs, what needs to happen? Like, realistically, for the Jets to go into Miami and to beat this Dolphins team, what needs to happen?
Well, Dave, I think the first thing that the Jets have to do is make sure that they take care of the football. I mean, this Dolphins team is opportunistic. Their defense is going to try to look to create as many negative plays, as much disruption as they possibly can. And at the center of it is going to be their linebacker, Jerome Baker, number 55. He's a guy that you got to know where he's at all times. So I think that the most important thing for Adam Gase is to make sure that he keeps this offense on schedule, manageable downs and distances, and don't put too much on Joe Flacco. We recognize that there are deficiencies in terms of personnel, especially after moving on from Le'Veon Bell. So the best thing that he can do is make sure that he settles Joe Flacco into this game early. You saw last week he started the game with a bootleg, getting him out on the perimeter. I think a lot of half-field reads is something that he should do early on in order to try to standardize the Miami Dolphins defense, but also get his quarterback comfortable.
Yeah, you should see a much more comfortable Joe Flacco. And you could tell early on in that game, a little bit rusty. I mean, his last start was October 27th of last season, so I'd expect a much more comfortable Joe Flacco, a steady dose of – it'll be nice to see LaMichael Perine. I mean, you can see him and Frank Gore. But, I mean, if this team is going to win this football game, you're going to need more production from the rest of your wide receivers, your tight end. It can't be just Jamison Crowder and nobody else, because that's what it was last week. And on the defensive side of the ball, the one thing that Ryan Fitzpatrick will do is he will turn the football over. And I mean, that, which, again, Chris talking about being opportunistic on the defensive side of the ball, put pressure on Ryan Fitzpatrick and make him turn it over. Force him to turn it over.
Yeah, you have to, because Fitzpatrick will make mistakes. It's not like he's an elite quarterback. I mean, he's played well. He's an aggressive guy. He'll take big hits, but he'll make mistakes if you, and it's a big if, can put any pressure on him.
No, he'll make mistakes, Dave, but he'll also take some chances in trying to push the football down the field. And the first play of the game against the 49ers, that's exactly what they did. They had a 47-yard completion. So that's something that the Jets secondary has got to be prepared for. Shots early and often from this offense. Because the Dolphins, they don't have anything to lose. This is the first game that they've been favored in since Brian Flores took over as their head coach.
Amazing.
And so this is that team that's just like, they're going to let it all rip. Whether for better or for worse, they're going to take their chances. They're going to shoot their shot. So the Jets have to be prepared for shots from that Dolphins offense early.
I agree. All right, let's bring them in. Andy and Merrick, who's always in a good mood no matter what's happening out there in the real world. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, DCR.
I feel like Dave, you're Robin Williams. Go ahead.
Dave, side note, we're running a little bit low on the Tullamore Dew down here in the basement.
All right, let me make
Irish
a call.
Irish whiskey there is.
Gotcha.
Hey, we talked about the University of Miami yesterday. We're going to stay in South Florida. We're going to talk about your Miami Dolphins and taking on Rick's New York Jets. Starting with, there have been three players in Dolphins history to have their numbers retired. Please name them.
Marino.
One.
Zonka.
Zonka.
Was the other one with, is Bob Greasy the other one?
Yeah.
Bob Greasy's three. Hey now.
Nice.
One for one.
Okay.
Don Shula, of course, has 257 wins, their all-time leader in coaching wins. Can you tell me who ranks number two with 42 wins as a head coach?
42 is number two?
Yes.
That's funny.
Tough question. I'll give you a hint. There's some Chicago Bear flavor.
Dave Wannstedt.
Wannstedt, yeah.
There you go.
The fact that he's number two at 42 wins is unbelievable.
Yeah, that is pathetic. But, hey, speaking of Larry Zonka, more than 40 years later, he's still the Finns' all-time leading rusher. Can you tell me who's number two?
Ricky Williams.
CeCe, my man.
Nice.
No delay on that one. And finally, despite all the production of the Marx Brothers in the 80s, neither of them ever sniffed a 100-yard catch season. Can you tell me the only Dolphin receiver to ever exceed the 100 reception mark in a season?
Jarvis Landry.
My man, CeCe,
nice.
Two for two at the end.
Hey, he did it a couple times, though, didn't he? Didn't he, Andy?
He did.
Okay.
Fellas, let's be careful out there, and as always, stay healthy, boys.
All right, the great Andy from Merrick with his trivia on a Friday. I like the Friday. The football is my favorite.
Yeah, but he, I mean, was he trolling me going Miami Dolphins questions? Come on, man.
He's relevant.
It's relevant.
He's relevant.
Miami Dolphins. Miami
between him,
Dolphins.
Between him, you know I hate Dolphins. And more importantly, I got Iris saying, how could it get worse? I mean, we're in 2020. You can't say something like that in 2020.
Yeah, it's a bad look for us.
How could it get worse than COVID? I don't know. How about some murder hornets? I got dead birds falling from the sky for no reason.
There's a reason that they're falling dead from the sky.
I don't want to know the reason.
You don't know the reason, but there is.
I don't want to know the reason.
Dying.
The Dolphins are circling Adam Gase. I thought you'd be happy about that, Rico.
Can't stand Dolphins.
It's inhumane, as Don would say.
I don't even like Snowflake.
How could you not like Dolphins?
Because my wife got attacked by a dolphin.
I don't want to go here anymore.
Because they're sociopaths, and you know that.
No, you and your wife got attacked by dolphins, and you were the one that fled the scene.
It's inhumane!
The fact that you fled, really.
I did not flee. I had to carry on the family.
You fled.
Someone had to carry on the family name. Yeah, both of us going down.
She took your name.
No, I know. Exactly right. So I had to kiss. She was, I mean, what am I supposed to do?
Win horse at sea!
I can't believe you left her.
I had no choice, Dave. The survival instinct kicked in.
Protect her.
Well, if I could go back and do it over again, I would have.
Okay. Well, at least admit you made a mistake.
No, I made a mistake. I apologize.
That's it.
It's a lack of judgment. I didn't want to be in the ocean with the dolphin to begin with. Water was murky. You can't trust. I've watched when animals attack.
Murky.
I watched that when animals attack you. That's why they called their animals.
Not like lovable animals.
I can't.
So you held that against Cass, the fact that you didn't want to get in. So when the dolphins attack, you felt justified in getting out of there and not trying to protect
them. Yeah, because I told her, I said, this is not a great idea. I don't love it. That dolphin looks a little agitated. The water's murky. I'm not into it. I can't see the bottom. Who knows where the hell that dolphin's going to be?
So basically, you told your wife you get what you deserve in that situation.
Yeah, essentially, yeah, that's what I said.
I'm in trouble. See you later.
My actions spoke louder than my words.
Pulling me under. Have a good life.
This is what happens. This is why I don't have a dog. You never know when they're going to revert to being an animal.
There are when animals attack. There's no show when dolphins attack. When kittens
should be.
Attack, these don't
Google
exist.
Google when dolphins attack. They got the one where the dolphin jumps up on the dock and starts dry humping the person. That happened.
Well, everyone has needs.
Well, yeah, exactly right. You sign up and you're going to get taken advantage of by a dolphin.
I think you sign up for the taken advantage of.
DCR is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Catch them weekday mornings at 9 on 98.7 ESPN.